pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the show. Text me. Text line brought to you by Ascension Technologies. Let's go ahead and go to our guest here. He's been waiting on the line on hold. Always a pleasure. From a place I like to go sometimes, kind of get away from things up near Lake Martin, Dadeville. But State Representative Ed Oliver joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Good to be here, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We always appreciate it. Before we get into what I wanted to get you on, you know, obviously I think the divisive concepts bill's coming back. But how has the so-called off-season been for you so far?
Well, the landscape is changing. I think we're making a little progress. There's such a pushback against DEI at this point. I think the universities are trying to distance themselves from CRT and DEI and all of the left-wing three-letter things that are out there. So I think we're making some progress.
Yeah, it does seem like the iron's hot right now, maybe hotter than, and I was kind of talking about this earlier in the program, Representative, if they had passed your divisive concepts bill back when you first put it out there, I don't think there would be quite the. It seems like now you've got to maybe even expand it somewhat. That the push for this, people see what's going on in the country. They're watching what happened at Harvard. They see this in other areas of their public institutions. The DEI sort of approach to government, they are rejecting it, and I think the momentum is in your direction, maybe even to do more with it.
Well, and I think the public understanding the need. I don't know anybody that wants the government to sexualize or politicize your kids. I don't think that there's anybody that wants their kid to go to school in kindergarten to learn how to be a Marxist. Once we get out of high school, though, and of course the legislature has the obligation to make sure that our public schools are unbiased and you get a good education, you're prepared to go out into the world because the taxpayers pay for it. That's my responsibility. Post-secondary college, that's a little different. That's when parents got to decide what it's worth. And I think the universities are starting to feel the brunt of that, that parents just don't think it's worth the money to send their kids to go to school to teach them how to be communists.
Well, at least with our state schools, there is an element of public buy-in. And, I mean, we can spend all day talking about what's wrong with the two flagship schools right now. I don't know, curriculum or some of the they've all, higher academia has always been kind of left of center. But I think people see it and they want a response from their elected officials to say, hey, maybe we don't do so much of this anymore.
Well, I would guarantee you that at this point, we've got a budget chairman in the House that will tell you there's 630 million ways that we can influence universities. And, of course, that's dollars. I don't think it's right for taxpayers in Alabama to have to spend what they spend on universities so that we educate kids from other states that leave here or that we teach some sort of left-wing ideology that has nothing to do with good jobs or serving our fellow man when they graduate. So that's sort of the way I look at it. And I think that's the way the universities are starting to, I think they would like to distance themselves from DEI as best they could.
Well, you said something there, and I've been talking about this a lot on this show and just in general. This is kind of going off on a tangent here, Representative, talking about how our two flagship schools right now, Auburn and Alabama, they're educating more out of state. Maybe not Auburn yet, but Alabama for sure. more out-of-state students are coming in than in-state students. You have a higher out-of-state enrollment than in-state enrollment. And I just like, why do these colleges exist? Why does the Alabama legislature, why does the taxpayer, why do we keep propping these things up? If we're, and I get it, Alabama's a fun, sexy place to be right now with Coach Saban and a winning football and a winning tradition. It's exciting. So a lot of people from around the country want to come here. That's a great thing. But that's not why they exist. It's supposed to be, I believe, to kind of better the state of Alabama. And we're not really getting that right now. The focus seems to be slightly different, that we want to just kind of self-perpetuate these institutions, get the higher tuition with the out-of-state tuition, and build up the university even more and more and more. And I don't think that really serves the Alabama people directly like it was intended.
I would agree with you 100%. Those are things that we have looked at over the last my first term, and of course, we're looking at now. I do believe that the legislature has taken a lot harder look at the universities the last couple of years because of these issues that have come up, like CRT and DEI. So, we want to serve Alabama, and we would like to serve Alabama by teaching them how to be great engineers or whatever profession they choose. I don't think that we need a third of our classes to be diversity, equity, and inclusion classes. And I don't think we need to be teaching critical race theory literally for a third of the classes that are at the university. I don't think that type of education prepares people for anything except to be divisive and not understand how the real world works. I think it's great to have an understanding of things that are around you. I think that's very important. But we need to have people that are prepared to go into business and people that are prepared to support our economy, not to have folks that want to be left-wing radicals and revolutionaries.
Right. And you hear about a struggling labor participation rate that, and I'm not saying it's necessarily the fault of higher education. I think education in general may have something to do with that. But that there's way too much focus on this stuff, and we got to rein some of that in and shift the focus back to what was intended initially, right?
Jeff, there's a post-COVID malaise where people just want to stay home. And you know, I get it. But it's like getting paid $15 an hour to work in McDonald's. Everybody wants to get paid. Everybody wants to have money and everybody wants to have things, but nobody wants to go to work. And I really believe that the current administration, the presidential administration, did everything they could to kind of foment that. And I believe it is an effort to break the economy. I really believe they want to do away with the middle class. They want to do away with the work ethic. They want to take away the pride in being employed and having a job. And it's all about people that have money giving it to people that don't.
It's this moral meritocracy. And this gets back to divisive concepts where we're trying to achieve like kind of an impossible standard with equity, or equality of outcome. And and create a certain diverse, institution or whatever. And it gets where we're just micromanaging everything that like, even if you think this DEI stuff, which you and I would both agree it's divisive, but even if you think it's a good thing that sometimes you just need the heavy hand of government to do these things, it just seems like such an impossible task to get that recipe, to get that mixture, get whatever it is you're trying to achieve just right. And I don't know that government quite has the tools or the ability to do that.
I think you're absolutely correct. I believe there are a lot of places government does not belong. This is the last place I would have expected to spend my time, but the left believes that obviously there's a socialist bent or a Marxist bent from the left, and I think it's important that we fight it. Now, at the same time, I'm also one of those people, I don't believe that diversity is what makes a nation strong. I believe it's finding diverse people that have something in common that they want to come together on. So we find the thing that we have in common and we unite on that. And that's what makes us successful as a nation, not the fact that we're all different.
Joined by State Representative Ed Oliver of Dadeville here on the program. Let's get back to the business of the legislature and your divisive concepts bill. It's made it through the House and it goes to the Senate where it sort of goes to die. My guess is you have a couple of senators who have threatened to kind of just end the process and tie up everything if this bill gets a hearing. Is this the year? Are you going to figure out a way to kind of break any kind of filibuster or any kind of impediments upstairs in the Senate?
Well, I will tell you, I will not introduce the bill in the House. Senator Barfoot will introduce it in the Senate. I have been assured and reassured by the people who tied it up last year in the Senate that it would pass. There's going to be a lot of pressure from all sorts of places to get this bill passed in the first week or two of the legislative session. So I think it's going to be better for everybody. I think it will help our universities. Remember, our universities are made up of a big number of people that have all sorts of ideologies. And this is a distraction for them. It is a distraction for the university in terms of education, in terms of publicity, things they don't want to deal with. So, but they have to deal with their faculties. And the faculties, for some reason, seem to be a little left-leaning. So this is the way the legislature can help them get control of their schools. And it's something we actually owe to the parents that have kids in kindergarten through 12.
Representative, I didn't ask you about this, but I am curious to hear your thoughts. And if you haven't seen the piece, then we can move on. But did you see the Wall Street Journal piece about Auburn? And the criticism, I think, was the tuition is high and there's no opportunities for merit-based or need-based scholarships. Yet Auburn is building and building and building and putting building ahead of this. I'm not so sure it was the hit piece that Auburn thought it was, but did you get a chance to see that?
I did not. I have heard it discussed on several occasions. I hate to talk about it without reading it. But in Auburn's defense, I would like to say that I would think the University of Alabama would take a much bigger hit than Auburn would. That's just, and I'm an Alabama graduate, and I love the University of Alabama.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily disagree with the sentiment and any of that, but it just seems like this is a trend everywhere on every college campus. That there's just a lot of capital improvement going on. I think in the capital improvement game got Birmingham Southern in trouble, right? That it just seems like this is just what colleges are doing right now.
Well, how many rock climbing walls and ice cream shops and how much nice shrubbery do you need? That's sort of the question. And every university wants to be a showplace, and I get that. They want to have the things you need to attract kids from all over the country, and I get that as well. I'm just afraid education gets left on the sideline.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Another big part of that, too, Jeff, is grants, people that borrow money to go to school, which I think is nuts.
Well, what you're getting for it these days may not be worth it. Real quick, we'll get you out of here on this, but the other hot topics in the Alabama legislature, it sounds to me you're going to take another crack at gambling, ethics maybe, and then the silver unicorn for a lot of my conservative brethren, school choice. So what do you think the prospects are?
I think my personal opinion, the gambling, it probably would not happen unless there were a special session called. School choice has the best chance it's ever had in some form. I don't know if that'll be charter schools, if it'll be piecemeal, how they'll approach that. But I think the sentiment for school choice is probably at its highest level. And a lot of that's defining what school choice is between urban and rural and various school districts. I think that may be a valid cause this session.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Representative, thanks for making time for us, and hopefully you can hear from you again soon.
Yes, sir. I'm all for it. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
State Representative Ed Oliver from Tallapoosa County. He's pushing the Divisive Concepts Bill, and we'll see how early that gets going this year. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.